morning, Video Land out there. We're looking to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 this morning. Really, there's nothing new this morning. I mean, there never is, really. We might find something that we've read it 50 times and it really clicks this morning. That's happened to me almost every time I do a sermon. A couple of good verses pop out of there that I don't want to forget. Like last week when we went through the three verses in the Gospels where Jesus taught the way of God. And there's the phrase. It was the phrase, way of God. And then we see in Paul's writings, he calls it the way of God more perfectly. So is it adding to the way of God? No, it's more perfectly. It's more complete. We know more about it than they did during the days of the Gospels, during the time Jesus was on this earth. They didn't know what he was going to do for them after they killed him. They knew nothing about that stuff. So getting your material out of John is just like, let's just have a hamburger, but let's leave out the meat. Let's just have buns and ketchup and mustard. You're not going to grow on that. You're not even going to eat. And you'll die. Put that hamburger in there and you'll live. So we're going to look here this morning at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. And it says this, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." And this whole point this morning will be how to live. Now, it's going to just be, like I say, your standard stuff. It says there, if ye stand fast. We're going to talk about standing fast. And it's the feeling that I have that it's almost, why are we going to talk about standing again when I see so many falling and falling? And are they actually falling, or are they just putting their climbing shoes down and quitting? Whatever it is, how to live is, for now we live. We're living now. We can live now. We have to stand fast in the Lord. And this living gets more and more difficult, more and more perplexed, but not depressed and all this kind of stuff in Corinthians there. It does, doesn't it? It just is. And the hard thing is to know people's situations that they're involved in now or will be soon, and you just wonder, just like Paul did. Paul always wondered. He wondered with tears. I've told you this, and I've told you this, and I've told you this, and he's afraid it's all going to be in vain. You know, when you think about it, you think of all the sermons that are there, you think of the Bible studies that are there, you think of the things you've told to people, think of the things you've told to people, think of the things you've tried to do in your life, and how many people out there are going to still crash and crumble. And yet they're going to be happier and more successful and more friends and the whole thing. And you're going to try to tell them, I'm sorry you fell. What do you mean I fell? We're finally doing good. I'm finally happy. I'm out of my mess. I'm doing much better. Are you doing much better in God's design? So when he says, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord, if we don't stand fast in the Lord, we die. Even though we might be happier. So let's look this morning at standing fast. And let's see, just hear hopefully some encouraging things here this morning. If it is, it's going to be from the book, not from me. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Boy, I still got this cough. So I'm sure it's going to blow your speakers out of your off your rooms there, folks. So if I can do a quick mute, I can't do a quick mute on the video, though. Does this microphone have a quick... No, it doesn't have a quick mute. It has an on or an off. So if I'm going to cough, I can turn off the mic here anyway. I can... Right there, I can cough. Here's a cough coming, right? Cough, 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 cough. Did that work? Anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So we're gonna be encouraged to live and not die, even though everybody around us seems to be dying, or we're going to be dying, or we are going to die as well. It starts off with chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. A lot of reading, then some quick verses at the end, and then we can all go fishing and enjoy our life. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now here's the first frustration. How many of us is our faith growing exceedingly? And how about the charity of every one of you toward each other? Well, when you realize a lot of things amongst the so-called brethren, you realize that Paul not only says to have charity, he also says to reprove, to rebuke, and to instruct, and to admonish, and to step away from, avoid, that kind of a thing. So that's important too. I'm so afraid to read these verses about charity of every one of you that all toward each other aboundeth. Sure, but there are some directions from Paul that says, but if that's not the right stuff, deal with it still. He's not into this golden rule where you just have to do everything to everybody else that you want them to do it to you and ignore all the junk that's going on in this world, going on in the people's lives. You're not judging them for it, but you're admonishing them. And if it's not a good situation, you get out. So, but that's your faith is growing exceedingly. So right away, I know we are to the folks that are here. You wouldn't be here this morning, or you wouldn't be tuning into the video. And when you can fit it into your schedule and things, but most of the time, we're not talking to people whose faith is growing exceedingly. Their religion is growing exceedingly, or their self is growing exceedingly, or their worldly life is improving, is growing exceedingly. And they have charity towards everybody. They don't have charity. They have judgmental love because they love everybody, but they'll talk about them at night. Or they'll love everybody and end up doing what they're doing because they didn't avoid who they should have avoided, etc., etc., etc. Paul's talking to some people here that are growing and love to hear from Paul. So, because that's you folks out there, let's keep going. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now, I'm going to try to quit naming places, but I'll tell you what, I don't see patience and faith, and I don't see these people even suffering persecutions and tribulations anymore. You know, that's not living. Standing fast in the Lord is living. These folks are dying because they're not going to be persecuted, they're not going to put up with the tribulations. And these folks have had persecutions and tribulations, and they are enduring them. Then it says, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy. Now, let's just let that sink in. Next time you're exercising, or next time you're riding your bike, or walking, or laying in bed just kind of thinking, think of this verse. These persecutions and tribulations that we endure or will endure or whatever, it's a token, it's a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. And it says, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. So it should be making us stronger, not tripping us up. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So, and to you who are troubled, and a lot of us are getting more and more troubled every day, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is that is not the gospel of the gospels. That is Paul's gospel, the risen Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. It goes on in that rest of that chapter. It talks about that vengeance and what's going to be going on here. So we get into chapter 2 now, just a little bit here. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye should not be, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Boy, it's tough, isn't it, to be shaken in mind? Those are your thoughts we're dealing with there. Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. They'll be troubled when the Lord's coming back. So we don't need to be troubled as if he was coming back today. We're not going to be worried about that. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come. What day is that? The day of Christ. Except the coming of falling away first. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then it goes on. He opposeth himself, he exalteth himself above all that is called God. Or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we have these people in these churches worshipping God, but it's not God. It's the devil here. He is exalting himself. He is opposing himself, actually. Who opposeth and exalts himself above, he opposeth all that is called God. That really is God. So, when people are doing what they're doing, they're not pleasing God. They're not worshiping God. They're not talking with God. They're not living a life unto God. They're not standing fast in the Lord. And their lives are going much better. Why? Because if you're going to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. And persecution is not having to take a job where you have to be immodest or work at a bad company just to make money. That's not the persecution. The persecution is we don't take those jobs if we have to be immodest or to work for a company that we don't want to have to work for. Persecution is not getting the job you need because you're a Christian. Now, I'm not saying you need to be an idiot or a jerk. You need to put down, I'm a Bible believer and King James fanatic on your application. Not talking like that. I'm just saying, when the decisions come around, man or God, and you finally choose God, you're going to suffer. But see, dressing the way they dress in the workplace, doing the things they do in the workplace, and doing the parties and stuff that they do so you can keep that job, that's not what we're talking about here. The persecution will come is when you do right in that job and you dress right in that job and you talk right in that job and you do the right thing or you won't do it. That's when the persecution will come. That's when you'll start to live again. Okay. So we see the rest of these verses in Thessalonians here about the times of the tribulation getting started here, verse 9. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So people that think this whole Satan talk is a bunch of baloney are a bunch of baloney themselves. Because who is coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. We're living in the time where the power and signs and lying wonders are starting to activate more and more and more. Because he's going to be coming is after the working of Satan, so Satan's got to be working. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. So we know, we see where we're headed these days. Then Paul gives us this positive shot in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. So we are part of the beloved of the Lord. Are you walking a clean, perfect life? Are you sinless with a few confessions here and there in order to be beloved of the Lord? No, he's made us his beloved. We're accepted in the beloved. We are his people. Because God has from the beginning chosen you. Ah, there it is. Predestination? No. Not at all. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There's what we've been chosen to do. You believe the truth, you'll be his. And that truth has to be dispensational at the right dispensational time. Revelation 14 is truth. About obeying the commandments and not taking the mark and that kind of a thing. But it's not truth if preached to us today. Then it's not truth. Preaching the gospel is that you need to just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's truth during the Gospels. That's a true statement, but it's not truth if preached to us that that's what our salvation is from. Then it's not true. It's like teaching somebody the ark. I always go back to the ark. Sure, it was true in the day. Noah didn't even have rain, never heard of rain. And he told them, before we're gonna get rain and everybody's going to die, and he builds an ark. Okay. So if we try to preach to somebody today that Noah built an ark, that's truth. But if we say you need to build an ark, that's not true. Then it is not truth. So we believe the truth, and the believing of the truth during the dispensation of grace is what Paul writes. That's the truth that we need to believe. And if we do, we're going to have grace for us, we're going to have love, we're going to have prayer for others, we're going to have tears for others, and we're going to have to turn away from somebody that we don't want to turn away from. We're going to have to not do some things we need to do. And we're going to choose to do wrong. If we choose to stand fast in the Lord, then you're going to suffer. That's just the way it's going to be. And we're all running out of suffering, succotash, I guess, whatever succotash is, but it rings a click anyway, because we're just tired of suffering, and we haven't even begun to suffer yet. All of us have had some horrible days. All of us have some terrible situations within our families, and a lot of us because we either did the wrong thing or said the wrong thing, but some of it, maybe a lot of it is because you're standing with Paul this morning. You're going to stand fast in the Lord, and you do that by looking to Paul's writings. That's truth. Okay, he says here in verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Our gospel, so there's another one of those. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Just notice that. By our gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. A good verse. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, that's Paul's teachings, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus. We obtain that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, brethren, stand fast. He just says, stand fast. And hold the traditions which ye have been taught, either whether by word or our epistle. And we have those things in Paul's writings in our Bible. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Do we run out of wanting to do good and do good work? In every good word and work. That should be us. So he says in verse 15, stand fast. Stand fast. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Here we go. So standing fast this morning. It's hard. The rougher the train ride gets, the harder it is to stand. You hang on to the loop, you hang on to the rail, you hang on to something, it keeps you from falling. So we have to hang on to something. If somebody says, you know, your church is your crutch. I've heard that many times. Well, for many years, my church was my crutch. Then I realized my church was kicking me over. When I was trying to stand on the church, it would kick me over. It would let me fall. So I stood on a person. Well, that person kicked my feet out from underneath me, too. I stood with people. They kicked me out. People stood with me personally. I kicked them out. From the leaning on the crutch. No, the book is our crutch. I am not ashamed to say that I need my Bible. I need to preach this stuff. I need to teach this stuff. I need to read this stuff. I need to look at my life and see whatever's coming up here. I'm going to have to stand fast when things get worse. Can they get worse? Yeah, they can get worse. They can get worse. I don't like to see people that have taught for years about Paul and how we have to give it up in order for certain things to happen. Isn't that a sad thing? That's hard. That's a hard thing. But I've had so many people say, you know, Paul just isn't practical. Well, Paul may not be practical, but he's right. And that's what we should stand fast on. Like he says, we're going to stand fast, we're going to suffer. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, read chapter 4, that's all that imputation stuff. Therefore, being justified by faith, and that's where our justification comes from, is by faith. We have peace with God. Now, do you have peace with God this morning? Invitation, eyes closed, pianos come up there, and let's play a little bit of music there, da-da-da-da, let's get us crying. No, think about it. What are you doing that is not right? What have you said? How are you talking? What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you not doing that you should be doing? And when we can have peace with God, yeah, we can. We have that peace. People don't understand that, and they think it's just such a selfish religion to believe that. No, Paul had peace with God, and yet he did things he shouldn't have been doing, Romans chapter 7. He fought himself all the time. And it's not imputed. So get mad at yourself for doing it. Sure, get mad at yourself for blowing your testimony in front of other people. Get mad at yourself for accidentally showing something. Get mad at yourself for saying something you wish you hadn't said. All those things. Sure, that's fine, because you still want to do right, according to Paul. But as far as peace with God, it's still there. It hasn't changed one iota. You have to work someplace you don't want to work, and then you still have peace with God. Life is what life is. You're not standing fast anymore. Well, you still got peace with God. He's not going to hammer you for it. Still there for you. Still loves you. Going to still try to teach them to you every day. Judgment seat's where it's going to get uncomfortable. And he's going to say, listen, I took care of this. Just get this stuff burned out of your life, and let's get going. So, it's because we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, not through ourselves. By whom, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we're standing because of the grace. You mess up, you trip up, you do it again tomorrow, you do it the next day. Listen, we stand because we have His grace. And His grace, we have His grace because of faith. And then He adds even more to it, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So why should we let ourselves trip up and fall? What does it mean to fall anyway? Do we fall with what we're doing in our day-to-day lives public testimony? Sure we do. You wear something you shouldn't have worn because you didn't know, and now you know. And you know what you did? You blew a testimony there a little bit. You said something you shouldn't have said to somebody. You got angry, and you blew your lid. You blew your testimony there. Yeah, that's falling. But the ones that are starting to concern me are those that are not only falling, they're stepping down. They're purposely shoving this stuff aside so they can have a happy life, so they say. They're getting rid of their kids. They're getting rid of their families. They're getting rid of their life as they knew it. The old flesh is just taken over. They claim that they were controlled when in reality the devil controlled them. And the devil will always control them now. Anyway. So, we're standing because we have His grace, and we have His grace because of our faith in Him and because of His faith which He gives to us. We have that grace. And because of that grace and because we can stand, we should rejoice in hope. We know what's coming up. We understand what's coming up. We understand the judgment seat of Christ. We understand what comes after that. We understand how God even sees us today. We understand what's going on in this country. We understand what's going on in this world. There's hope. Is our hope based on America? Is our hope in this next election? No. We know that all these new Republicans are going to jump in and they're going to do the same thing. They were doing it before these guys got in there. Just a bunch of politics. That's just all that stuff is. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're going to stand fast, but it's because of His grace that we can even stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Our faith, that your faith, it says there. Let's look at verse 4 here. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Well, we're hearing that all over the place, aren't we? People are taking, the pastors are taking that Bible, all of that Bible except Paul's writings, and they're putting their enticing words of their own collegiate wisdom in there. And people are looking for this demonstration of the Spirit and of power. They're looking for this demonstration of the Spirit and power to come out in their physical lives. Here, Lord, prove that you're alive. Give me a good paying job. Lord, give, you know, not that we should be praying for jobs. Anything. I'm not saying that. Don't get that thing confused. But if we're going to prove God's truth, His realness, because of this demonstration of the Spirit and of power, getting me a new house or getting me a car or healing me or all the things that we ask for on a physical basis, then we're not going to see it. We're not going to see it. Not that God can't answer prayer, but that's not why He's going to answer, to prove that He's alive. That was Old Testament. That was Gospels. That's not today. He gave us a book. And if you don't believe that God is God by two, look at a creation out there, just sidelight bunny trail here. If you still can't believe that God is God based on what you see in creation and birds and flowers and canyons and life ourselves, our own human body, a way we're constructed, da-da-da-da, and you can't see God in a book that's got no contradictions if it's rightly divided, and each word is exactly the word He wants in there. And if you don't recognize that yet, you're not going to recognize anything out in this world but physical blessings, and the devil's going to throw those at you. And as a result of that, your faith goes into your local church and your pastor and your glee club and your, not your glee club, what do you call those, the circles the ladies have, and the goodness of all the Christians and the conservative, moderate, Midwestern, nice people, then you're going to go right back to playing religion again. And you're not going to see it. He says in verse 5, our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the power of God is in this Bible. Power of God is in this Bible. People are turning to the riches, to riches, 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 money, money, money. And they think that God is proving himself by that. And we know that in Timothy, it says, 1 Timothy 6, you know, this money thing, this love of money, people will fall into temptation and a snare. We know that. We will. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. We have the money, we can buy this stuff. And it'll drown men in destruction and perdition. And people that covet in this money thing, they'll err from the faith. And they'll pierce themselves through with many sorrows. That's Timothy. And as I've grown up and grown through the years and become an aged, a young aged man, I'm realizing that that is exactly what's happening to everybody. Is everything is boiling down to the fact that we want money. You'll start dressing immodestly. You'll start talking wrong. You'll start going places you shouldn't go. Your music will change. Everything will change. Your church will change. Your pastor will change. All this stuff will change because you need money. Money is going to be the root of all this stuff, one way or another. You want more people to come to this church. You want your friends to come to this church. You want a friend. You can get a friend with money because you can do stuff with people. It's amazing. When as you get older, you realize all this kind of stuff, and then who wants to hear about it? Nobody. But anyway, people think the power of God is in philosophy, their brain, education. They think it's in good works. They do good, God will bless them. They think the power of God is in flattery. I'll just tell them that they're really nice people. Really deep down, you know they're scum and they're not doing right. Their music stinks. They dress horribly. Blah, 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 blah. But you're going to be nice to them. That's flattery. And you think the power of God is going to be in your life because you know how to flatter people, make them feel good about themselves, even though, you know, confession. People can confess and get the power of God in their life. People think the power of God comes from imitation. They can imitate Christ. They can do what he did, follow his footsteps, and that's the power of God. The power of God is in this Bible, rightly divided, and then you getting off your duffer and do what Paul says we should do to please God and to do right. Oh, by the way, you'll suffer persecution. It's just you will. But stand fast anyway. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. That's how you live. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, which is right after 15th Galatians. Corinthians, I mean here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Looking at Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, he says, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Okay? So this liberty that we have, Is it considered bondage that we still can't do anything we want? We still shouldn't do it if it's going to cause somebody else a problem. We shouldn't do it if it's going to be just a fleshy thing. We shouldn't do it if it's going to be power over us. It's going to take control of our lives, our persons, our jobs, our attitudes. We shouldn't be doing it if it's not the right thing to do, if it's not expedient. And we shouldn't do it if it's not going to edify the body of Christ. But is that bondage? Is that a legalistic bunch of rules? Not at all. Because, see, during the whole thing that we're trying to do these things, all things are lawful. We're just trying to do the better thing in our life. And you lose your wife, you lose your kids, you lose your friends, you lose your husband, you lose your job, you lose your savings, you lose your money, you lose your retirement, as some people have, you lose health, you get kind of nutty because you're not handling things well, you know. We suffer for these things. But we are still made us free. We're free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's a funny thing, although we're not laughing. People that leave the Paul stuff and they go back to the ways of the world, they're going back into bondage. Another sermon, I guess. It's amazing. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, or foolish family members, O foolish you, or foolish people, or go down the names, O foolish name. Just get on Facebook and see how these are the bewitched people here. That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learned of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? here's a hard verse. I mean, here's go ask ourselves, have we suffered so many things in vain? See, if we give up now, everything that we've done up to this point is in vain. That was Paul's fear. That not just him speaking in vain, but the fact that the people, everything he showed them and told them was in vain because the people didn't get it. That was his fear. He really feared that. He knew his position with God, and he was going to be there. But he was concerned about the other people. He was concerned about people giving up and blowing their testimony, and you spent a year, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 10 years standing on stuff, suffering because of your stand and your position. And now you throw it all out, and you're going to go back to trying to do right things. You're going to go back to living in the world. You're going to become Demases. But you'll be good Demases. No, there's no such thing as a good and bad Demas. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? That happens. Now, I think as I didn't write down the reference, I think it's 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 1st or 2 Timothy. It is, like I thought, it is 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. No. 2 Timothy. There we go. 2 Timothy. Sorry about that. No, it's not 2 Timothy. It is 1 Timothy chapter 6. No, it's not. It has to be in Timothy. Isn't the armor of God in Timothy? Sure it is. Come on, brainless wonder here. Come on. Armor of God. Where's the armor of God? Ephesians. That's dumb of me. Ephesians, duh. Ephesians chapter 6. There we go. Galatians, you're close, but it's Ephesians. And he says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, we've put on the armor of God if you're a true Christian this morning. Because you've got his, look at verse 14. You've got the truth, King James Bible rightly divided. You've got the breastplate of righteousness, his righteousness. You've got the gospel of peace through Paul's teachings, risen Savior. You've got the shield of faith, his faith. She'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We've got the helmet of salvation. That's his helmet. That's his salvation. And we've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we've got the ability to pray and the command to pray. And people get so frustrated, but anyway. So what's the problem here? We ought to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 11. No, you know, this wiles of the devil thing here. So this is what we're up against. We're up against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles isn't just tricks. The tricks of the devil. No, here's a definition of wile. Stratagem, practice for ensnaring or deception. A sly, insidious artifice. And he's going to do everything he can to trick us. It isn't just a trick. He's got a strategy. It's like when you play chess. If you ever played chess, you don't just have another move like you do in Rummy Cube. You've got 4, 5, 6, 7 moves. If you're going to move this one pawn one way, you've got 6 or 7 other moves that you know that this other guy is going to do, and you're prepared for those other moves. So you're like 7, 8 moves ahead of yourself after this one move. And the devil knows what we're going to do. He knows we're going to try to stand strong. He knows we're going to try to stand fast. But he's got 7 or 8 other things he's going to throw at us, depending on how we respond. I mean, that's the wiles of the devil. Now think about it. We mentioned earlier, imitation. To get people to think that they can imitate Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to be like the Most High. And he's got us people down here thinking, well, we can be like him too, because their Bible say to imitate Christ. That's a wile. That's one of his wiles. And remember the coyote, Wily Coyote. That's what the devil is. He's not just tricking us. He's got some plans. He has got strategy involved in your life. He's going to manipulate people around you. He's going to manipulate your life and circumstances, good or bad, to get you to not stand fast in the Lord through Paul. He's going to get your clothes off. He's going to get your mouth spouting off. He's going to get you angry. He's going to get you to do the wrong thing. He's going to do anything he can to destroy your marriage. He's going to do everything he can to destroy your children. He's going to do everything he can to get you caught up in a new church and a new religion and a new belief. He's going to do everything he can. And he's going to do it through this imitation desire. He's going to do it through by attacking our pride. But if you have any contention, there's pride there. He's going to get us through riches, because our whole world is, you can't even get a phone. You can't even get any clothes that are modest. You can't even find a decent job, you know, without having money. The riches, religion. So everybody's still caught up in religion. That's just a hard thing to deal with. Leaven. We know that the devil thinks so. In such minute little leavening capabilities there, levels of leavening, we don't even know what's happening. And some old guy comes along and points something out, and you go, "Oh, you're just controlling. You're just attitude. You've got a bad attitude. And what do you know about my life anyway? And come on, I need this. Just not practical. Blah 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 blah." He's got all kinds of music. He's going to try to wily us with his music, good and bad. He's got seducing spirits. He's got doctrines. He's got his own doctrines. He's going to throw at us that people like because it makes them feel good about themselves. He's got conceit. That's pride again. And one of the toughest ones he's got out there for people are ministers of righteousness. These pastor guys that are saying really good things. You know, like the golden rule. But that's not right. Pastor, the Bible doesn't talk about golden rule to us today. Let's look at how Paul preaches and teaches us. Let's get involved with the social work of the community. Let's see if we can't change our ways and bring in the community. It would be so good to have everybody here hearing the love of God and the truth and, barf. That's wrong. So, look at Second Thessalonians. We're almost done here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Paul says here, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast." So we started this morning. Stand fast. And hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. So the things that Paul teaches us, we stand fast and we hold on to those things. And like it said in chapter 3, verse 8, that's how we live. That's how to live. You want to live? Then here's what you do. You stand fast with what Paul teaches us from the risen Savior as being a Christian in our day-to-day living. That's life. Anything else is not life. It's death. Look at Philippians 4:1, and we'll be done this morning. Philippians 4:1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord." My dearly beloved. So we can be of Paul's beloved too, if we're doing the right thing. Let's please God, and let's realize that if Paul were down here, we'd be pleasing him. We'd be making him happy as our preacher and our pastor. Don't do things because of me, but I know you don't, but I mean, there are people that did. And, no, do it because of the risen Savior, and you can even do it because of Paul, because you could be a part of the beloved that is his joy and his crown by doing the right thing through Paul. And that's tough, because like I said, you want to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. But stand fast. Stand fast when it comes at you. And you know it's already come at you. It's going to come at us even stronger. The train is going downhill now. It's going faster and faster. And don't anybody out there think this election is going to make anything any easier for us. It's not. It's just not going to. Watch out for the wiles of the devil. Okay, there you are. There's your blessing for the morning. We'll see you folks back tonight. Stand strong, stand fast, and pray for each other. I know people misunderstood my prayer stuff, but just pray for each other and try to do the right thing. Make the right choice. If you do, you're going to suffer, but not from God.